Yeah. I want to pose a little question to you, if I can, this morning. I'd like you just, in your mind, just for a moment, to fill in a blank. Jonathan, if you could put it up. I am. I am. That's the... I am. Now, what comes into your mind as you think about that this morning? I am a husband. I am an accountant. I'm a bus driver. I am a mum. I am pregnant. I don't know if you are, by the way, but that's not a word of knowledge for anyone that I know of. But I'm a failure. I'm a success. I'm a winner. I'm an honours degree student. I'm a high school dropout. I'm going to answer my phone. I am. I heard I am saved. I'm a child of God. What would you write in there? How would you describe yourself? I want you just to watch a short video this morning. And I just want to continue with you this morning. And this whole thing that God's really put on my heart that I've been sharing about now consistently over the kind of recent times when I've been speaking about understanding who I am in Christ and who Christ is in me. Thanks, Jonathan.
Who am I? Am I what I do? An artist? An accountant? A teacher? A mother? Or am I what I've achieved? An honor student? An MVP? A winner? Am I the things I've done right? Or am I defined by the things I've done wrong? Am I a saint? A sinner? What about what others think of me? Am I all of these things? None of these things? Who am I? How I identify myself determines how I approach life. If I am what I do, I'll always need to do more and achieve more to find my value. If I am what others say, I'll always try to please people instead of my Heavenly Father. But if I listen to who God says I am and embrace His identity in me, I'll find the freedom to live out all He has planned for me. God calls me His child. He says I am wise and restored, that I'm a brand new creation in Christ. I am chosen and holy and blameless before God. He calls me His masterpiece. I am loved by God. He says I am made complete through the grace and mercy of Jesus, my Savior. And when I see myself the way God sees me, I walk with confidence because I trust the one who answers the question, who am I?
A few weeks back, we looked at the whole thing in Ephesians 1 when the Apostle Paul prays for this revelation for us. Prays that we'll begin to understand who we are in Christ and who He is in us. And we talked about the same power that raised Jesus from the dead living inside of us. And Paul prays there that word about the enlightening that our eyes of our heart, that would be this enlightening would happen, the eyes of our heart would be open to see. It's like the lights would go on, that revelation would come into our life that would really begin to understand our identity of who we are in Christ and who He is in us. And I'm 100% convinced the reason I'm staying on this tack right now is because I believe this is where God wants me to be. I believe this is what God wants to get home to us at the moment, because I believe that, friends, when we understand, when that revelation hits our life and we really begin to understand in increasing ways who we are in Christ and who Christ is in us, I believe it's a game changer. I'm absolutely convinced. I won't go over old ground, but I shared the story of an encounter that I had with God in the summer that for me is one of the most significant encounters with God I've ever had. And that the heart of that, part of what God was saying to me, a big part of it was this whole thing about understanding my identity, understanding who I am in Him and who He is in me. And I don't stand here this morning to gloat, but to give glory to God that it has brought a tangible change to my life. And I want to encourage you that I believe it can bring a tangible change to your life. What do I mean by that? And I give God the glory. I know it's affected my prayer life. I know it's affected my fear levels and my faith levels. I know that it's given me a new sense of confidence of who I am in Christ, a new sense of expectancy when I'm walking into situations. That's nothing of me, that's everything of Him. I'm just grateful for the change that is brought to my life. Anyone here like something fresh to happen in their prayer life? Like their confidence levels to begin to rise, to be able to walk into a situation and begin to feel expectant. Anyone here know that fear levels need to decrease in their life and faith levels need to rise? And I want to put it to us that that's why Paul prayed for it, that we would have the revelation of who we are in Christ and who He is in us. The other week I was praying, running into the men's day, and I was praying for what to share, and I began to get something together, and I went to bed, and in the middle of the night God woke me up, and clearly I heard God's voice so clearly, as clear as I've ever heard it, and God just said to me, Gideon. Gideon hadn't been on my radar. I hadn't read anything about Gideon or anything like that, but God said to me, Gideon, and I woke up that morning, and the word was right there, Gideon, and I grabbed my Bible and I began to read it, and God began to speak to me about this whole thing to do with identity crisis, and I shared that with on the men's day with the guys, and I was asked, would I bring that and share that here? Because, you know, there weren't many of us there who were able to make it for whatever reasons, and obviously there was no ladies there because it was a men's day. So, you know, I just want to bring that today. I'm just doing what some people asked me to do because they felt that we needed to hear that, and so I've asked God to bring it today with fresh impetus, and if you've heard it before, maybe God might highlight something afresh to you this morning. But the one thing I know this morning is this: the devil does not want you to understand, see, or believe who you are in Christ. He does not want you to get that. When you begin to step out in a new confidence in Christ, understanding, secure, content, assured in who you are in Him and who He is in you, let me tell you, friends, things begin to happen. Stuff starts happening. I just thank God for that. I don't know if I think you may have shared it. I'm forgetting where I've preached and what I've preached where, but I had an opportunity. I just want to share a few testimonies just to encourage you. Please take it as encouragement. Not take it as a bloke at the front trying to big himself up. Take it as an encouragement, because I want to be really honest with you about struggles in my life. I don't just want to share the wins. I want to share my struggles as well. And you know that I try to do that because I think it invites people in. Someone actually was, a pastor was telling me just the other day, a member of his congregation said, why do you share them stories? Why don't you just tell us like the good ones rather than the ones where you mess up? He said, no, it's so important to do that because we level up. You know, we all come into it then and we're all invited into it. If I just stand up and you say, God done this and God done this and God done this and God done this, you just think, oh my life, is he just kind of floating around all the time? No, I struggle, I wrestle, I have fears and insecurities and doubts. I don't always see things happen that I want to see happen, but I'm determined to press on. And, you know, I had the opportunity to pray for this guy at track, I think I told you. Well, the first time he came and he had a bad foot, and then he got in a small group of six people, and I bottled it. I totally bottled it. My fear rose up. I thought, I'm in the spotlight in a small group of six people, and I felt like I needed to pray for this guy, and I didn't. I got in my car, I drove home. I wrestled with all them feelings. I thought, God, oh, I don't want that. You've given me this thing in the summer. You've shown me who I am in you. God, you're with me. I won't bottle it next week. And I went back the next week and I just thought, I can't do that again. So the fear was still there, but I believe that God was with me. I had the opportunity to pray for this guy on the Saturday at Parkrun. He comes up to me. He'd had a foot. He'd been for like physio and all this kind of stuff that had been done in a problem in his foot. He walks up to me on the Saturday and really loudly, he's an older guy. I love him. He's a brilliant bloke. And he starts going, it's worked. It's worked, you know, it's worked. Really loudly. He's saying like this, and people are around like looking. He goes, it's worked, my foot, it's better, it's worked. This lady comes over, oh, I know, he says, it worked, he says like this, and he's telling everybody like this, and so thank God, that's great, that's awesome, and bless you, mate, I love that, and God loves you. And then he goes away, and then I see him again at track last week. He says, were your ears burning last night? I said, no, why is that? He says, I was out with a different running group last night from Downham Market. He says, the lady was there who'd been doing all the physio on my foot and massaging my foot, but it hadn't got any better. So I told her, hey, don't worry about none of that. He says, this is what he says. He says, I know a guy, he just puts his hand on your shoulder, says a prayer to him up there, and it works. It works. He says, they all looked at me like, I don't know if they believe me. He says, I think they thought I was a bit weird, but I'm telling you, it works. I'm at Parkrun yesterday, and this other guy comes up to me. He says, oh, I've just seen, he'll remain nameless. He says, you put your hand on his shoulder, and he says, it works like this. I said, God, this is awesome. You know, just stepping out, just trusting God. I want to go into Judges chapter 6. I want to read verse 1 to 6 to you just quickly in verse 11. The people of Israel did what was evil in the sight of the Lord, and the Lord gave them into the hand of Midian 7 years. The hand of Midian overpowered Israel, and because of Midian, the people of Israel made for themselves the dens that are in the mountains and the caves and the strongholds. For whenever the Israelites planted crops, the Midianites and Amalekites and the people of the east would come up against them. They would encamp against them and devour the produce of the land as far as Gaza, and leave no sustenance in Israel, and no sheep or ox or donkey. For they would come up with their livestock and their tents. They would come like locusts in number. Both they and their camels could not be counted, so that they laid waste the land as they came in. And Israel was brought very low because of Midian. And the people of Israel cried out for help to the Lord. Now just jump to verse 11. Now the angel of the Lord came and sat under the terebinth, Ophrah, which belonged to Joash the Abiezrite, while his son Gideon was beating out wheat in the winepress to hide it from the Midianites. The word that God put in my spirit was breaking a Gideon identity crisis off of our lives. And we're going to look at what that is this morning. And the word that God put in my heart was that it is time to step out from the shadows. In verse 2 in the New Living Translation, it says, the Israelites made hiding places for themselves. They were actually operating in hidden places. Because of what the enemy was doing, and we're going to look at that in a moment, they'd gone into hiding. They were in the shadows. Their land and everything was, you know, the enemy was devouring that. And so they're operating in the shadows. Do you know, I believe that, without just trying to be, I believe that that's the plan of the enemy. I believe the plan of the enemy is to push every child of God into the shadows. It's to kind of push you into hiding so you're not stepping out and seeing what God wants you to see, and living in what God wants you to live in, and doing what God wants you to do. And so here, the Midianites who are the enemy, is let's push them into the shadows. That's where we want them. We want them in hiding. We don't want them stepping out, believing that God is with them, trying to do anything. We want to push them into the shadows. Every time they try and step out, the enemy forces them back there. They plant a crop, the enemy rises in and devours it. They breed a sheep, the enemy rises in and steals it. And Gideon's threshing wheat in the wine press. We're going to say more about that in a minute. A lot of people, interestingly, I was saying when you read commentaries, even believe that that wine press was underground. If you look around online, you'll see that underground wine press. He's in hiding himself, the same as the people of his nation. Friends, I believe there were four big things. I've just continued to pray into this since the men's day. I believe there were four big things that the enemy used to push Gideon and the people into the shadows. Fear pushes people into the shadows. Doubt / self-doubt pushes people into the shadows. A low opinion of ourselves pushes people into the shadows. And comparison. Who am I, he says. I'm just the weakest of my clan. There are others who are stronger than me. There are other people who are stronger than I am. And it says in verse 6, they were brought very low. Do you know that those things, the enemy will play on those things in your life to bring you very low. The enemy doesn't want us to rise up and believe who we are in Christ and who he is in us. And so he'll play on our fears. He'll play on our doubts and our self-doubts. He'll play on the whole thing to do with comparison. Continually, you know, I'm not as good as them. I'm not as strong as them. I'm not as able as they are. And he'll want to try and bring us to that kind of low opinion of ourselves, because he knows that that pushes people down. Verse 6, it brought them very low. It actually means they were oppressed. They were pushed down by their fears. They were pushed down by their doubts. They were pushed down by their low self-esteem. And the enemy's playing on it. And every time they try and step out and do something, let's just try, let's plant a crop, he's riding in and he's pushing them back into the shadows. Let's breed some sheep, he's riding in and he's stealing them. I don't know if this sounds familiar to anyone here, but I don't know if you wrestle with any fears and doubts and insecurities and issues in your life. But do you ever find that whenever you begin to want to step out in God, the enemy tries to play on those things to push you back again? To push you back into the shadows, back into hiding. You see, you don't thresh wheat in a wine press. You thresh wheat in the outside because the chaff has got to be able to blow away in the wind. He's in the wrong place doing the wrong things. Friends, do you ever find that your fears, your doubts, your insecurities, your issues, your low opinion of yourself seem to find yourself in the wrong places doing the wrong things? In places you don't want to be, doing things you don't want to do. And yet if we begin to rise up in our understanding of our identity in God, I believe it will lead us to the right places doing the right things. But somehow those things seem to take us to places that I don't want to be here. I don't want to feel this way. I don't want to act like this, think like this, feel like this. And Gideon's in the wrong place doing the wrong thing. And they cry out, it says in verse 6, it says, and they cried out to the Lord for help. God, I've had enough of living like this fear is going to control me. God, I've had enough of living like this doubt and self-doubt, like this low self-esteem, this comparison game that I continue to play. God, I am sick and tired of being in the shadows of hiding. I'm sick and tired of every time I try and step out and do something for you, God, step out and try and recover and begin. I'm sick and tired of the fact that the enemy rides in and just pushes me right back into the shadows. Friends, that's a cry of some people's heart this morning. That's how some people feel this morning. It's a cry that's familiar to some people this morning. And the first thing I want you to know today is this. Where you find yourself now is not who you are. Where you find yourself now is not who you are. That's the first thing that God has to say to them in verse 7. When the people of Israel cried out to the Lord on the account of the Midianites, the Lord sent the prophet to the people of Israel and he says to them, "Thus says the Lord, the God of Israel. I led you up from Egypt and brought you out of the house of slavery. I delivered you from the hand of the Egyptians and from the hand of all who oppressed you and drove them out before you and gave you their land. And I said to you, I am the Lord your God. You shall not fear the gods of the Amorites in whose land you dwell, but you have not obeyed my voice." God says to them, guys, my heart for you is more than living life in the shadows. My heart for you is more than just trying to survive and hold on. It says they built forts. They were living life on the defensive. Well, this is just my little portion. This is the way life is going to be. This is going to define me, this issue, this fear, this doubt. It defines my life. I'll just hold the fort. I'll just try and keep the enemy at bay. And God comes and says, guys, I made you for so much more than that. My purpose for your life is so much greater than that. You are my people, a people who I set free. You're my people, a people who I want to see moving forward and possessing and winning. And God comes and he says, so my heart for you is to overcome, not be overcome. Maybe we just need to hear that this morning. Romans 8 verse 37 says, we are more than conquerors through him who loves us. See, whatever situation you find yourself in like now, if you identify with any of those things, they do not have to define who you are. They do not have to define your future any longer. God intends for more than you just to kind of survive out and live out and hold the fort, struggling with them things all your days. God's heart, God's intention is freedom, is victory, is moving forward, is winning, is possessing. And God comes to Gideon and says, you mighty man of valor. Yep, Gideon says, that's me. Nope. That word valor there means strength, ability, and power. He's calling a guy who's hiding in an underground wine press strong, able, and powerful. The Amplified version says this, the Lord is with you, you mighty man of fearless courage. Yep, that's him. Hiding in a wine press. Brave man, some versions say. Yep. Mighty hero. I mean, you can just imagine, can't you? Gideon looking over his shoulder, thinking there's someone else in the room. You know, I think God must be speaking to someone else because it's not me. Gideon would never have called himself that. He would never have called himself a brave man, a mighty hero, strong, able, and powerful. If you'd have asked others around, hey, do you know Gideon? Yeah, I know Gideon. Is he a brave man? Yeah, a mighty man, a warrior, able, strong, and powerful. You're having a laugh, aren't you? He's hiding in the wine press. That's not who Gideon is. Friends, my identity is not so much about who I think I am. It's not so much about who you think I am. It's who God says I am. You see, if I rely on what I think of myself, let me tell you, my opinion of myself is not always that great. Things that go on in my mind, the things that I think, things that I sometimes say and do. If I had a canvas opinion of what you think about me, well, that might be a bit scary. Some might say nice things, some may not. I don't know. But the point is, if I live out of those two things, what I think about, that can vary, because some days I think up and think, oh, you know what, I'm all right. Other days I get up and think, oh, I absolutely suck. I'm rubbish. It's an insecure way of living my life. And if I ask you, well, I might treat you nicely today, and you might say he's awesome, but tomorrow I might offend you, and you might say stone him. You know what I mean? I'm going to be insecure if that's where I'm getting my identity from, my sense of who I am. But your friends, that's where we often seem to base our identity. But when I begin to grasp who I am in Christ and who he is in me, I begin to step out of the shadows, because I begin to move forward in that sense of my identity. I can't rely on myself, and I can't rely on you. Daniel Kalender says this: apparently, when you have an aquarium for crabs, you don't need a cover, because there's no need for a lid. Because if one crab tries to climb out, the others will reach up and pull him back down again. I thought to myself, I know a lot of crabby Christians. So true, isn't it? We can sometimes pull each other down. But it's a good job God doesn't see us the way we see ourselves, or often the way we see or the way others see us. Because if I focus on that, I just disqualify myself. And that's what Gideon says really in verse 15. How can I save Israel? Behold, my clan is the weakest in Manasseh, and I'm the least in my father's house. Here is his self-doubts, his low opinion, his self-esteem is down. He's playing the comparison game. Friends, we're never short of excuses as to why God can't use us. We're always quick, or often quick, sorry, to write ourselves off. But the other thing that Daniel Kalender says about the story of Gideon is this: God sees more in us than we see in ourselves. And our obstacles, failures, and shortcomings do not intimidate him. Friends, the big issue that stops people moving out in God, and you've heard me say this a bit lately, we can't see in ourselves what God sees in us. Or should I phrase that, who he sees in us? Jesus, the hope of glory, the same power that raised Christ from the dead, is living in you. And Gideon's like, where are all the miracles? Verse 13, why has this happened? Here's my insecurity, here's my fear, here's my doubt. All Gideon can see is all the reasons why not. And God's trying to show him all the reasons why it's possible. All he can see is his own shortcomings. It's funny how the enemy will bring us to that place in our lives where all we can see is what's wrong and all the reasons why we can't do it and all the reasons why we come up short. And God's trying to show us why we can. And do you know why we can? How we can? Verse 16. But I will be with you. But I will be with you. And you shall strike the Midianites as one man. That's the game changer. Oh, you can see all the reasons why not. God says, but I will be with you. Friends, when that grips our heart, that where we go, he goes. Remember that John G. Lake we were talking about, the healing evangelist who saw God do phenomenal signs and wonders and miracles every morning, looking in that mirror, putting on his shirt and tie and saying to himself, God lives in that man. And everywhere that man goes, God goes. But I will be with you. When that moment comes, when that fear begins to rise, when that doubt begins to crop up, when you're in that situation, you feel kind of just out of your depth, when you're wondering how you're going to get through this, but I will be with you. See, the biggest lie that we often believe about ourselves and that the enemy works over time to feed is this: you've got to be strong, that you've got to have it all together, and you've got to try harder in order to qualify. No, you're not strong enough. No, you're not doing enough. No, you're not good enough. You're not able enough. You're not as able as they are. And so we believe this, and well, I need to be stronger. I'm just not strong enough. I need to have it all together in my life. Friends, that thing, that just totally messes up your identity in Christ, because it puts all the pressure on you. And it's all about performance. And it's all about living under the weight of that pressure. And it's all about me and what I need to prove. And do you know what? It's tiring. And yet it's a trap we fall into. I was saying to the guys that when I was training for London, I came home one day after a long run. And the battery on the Fiesta, our little car, was flat. And totally dead. Couldn't get it going at all. And I said to Claire, I'll jump in, we'll bump start it. And, you know, I didn't know how to bump start a car, so I Googled it, right? So Google bump start a car, misread the instructions, started pushing her down the road. Like, you know, even that, like, I don't want to admit I don't know how to bump start a car because I'm a man, I'm strong, you know? So I'll just Google it on the quiet. Yeah, I know how to bump start one. So she's in the car, we're going down the road, I'm pushing her, my legs are just feel like they're hanging off because I've been on like a long run this morning. I've got my coat on, everything like that. I'm pushing her down the road, the kids are there. Shout, start it. And she's like, can't get this thing started. And she's like, the kids are like, can we help push? I'm like, no, I'm going to do it. You know, and I'm pushing it down the road, and then get to the end and we didn't start. I'm absolutely shattered. I mean, I'm in bits, but for some reason I wouldn't accept any help, wouldn't accept that I didn't know what I was really doing. And pride kicks in. Friends, do you know the problem with that? It kicks in sometimes in our Christian lives. And do you know what? We just don't, it actually robs us a chance to be open and honest and vulnerable with one another. It's like, I don't want to talk about the fact that I don't really know what to do, or I haven't got it all together, or I'm not strong enough. And particularly for guys, I'll level up with you guys. This is a real one for us, because it's like, no, I'll plow on because I'm a man and this is what I do. And, you know, all the women say, amen, preach it. You know, it's kind of, that's what we do. But sadly, we just don't get honest, open, vulnerable, weak. Just say, do you know what? I'm really struggling. I can't do that. Where are those conversations? They should be prevalent. They should be here. They should be among us. Because somehow in our mind, we think, well, if I'm not strong enough, then I don't qualify. And do you know what? The enemy's always great at saying, you're not good enough. Yet John says he's the father of all lies. He's the best at telling you lies. And that's when he'll be all up and over you. If you're not good enough, you don't qualify, you're not strong enough, you're not able enough. And you know what Hitler says? Hitler says this, if you tell a big enough lie and tell it frequently enough, it will be believed. He'll keep telling you that lie and we'll take it on and we'll believe it and we'll shut down on ourselves and it will bring us very low. We won't be open and honest. Maybe our shame, our pride, our fears. Because if I admit them, then who am I? But you know, God has to break that in us. God has to change that in us. In Hebrews 11, in the heroes of faith, you read about Gideon and Samson in there. You can read it in your own time. We read about the mighty things that those men and women of God done there. We read it, it's exciting, shutting the mouths of lions it talks about and things like that all in there. We go, oh God, do it again. It's so awesome, it's so powerful, we want to see it. But you know, two of the guys who feature in there, Samson and Gideon, have big identity crises in their life. You've got one guy in Samson who thinks he's so strong he can do anything without God. And you've got another guy called Gideon who thinks he's so weak he can't do anything. And God has to deal with both of them. He has to bring them both through this identity crisis in their life. Because you've got one who thinks he's got nothing to offer. The other who believes he's got everything to offer. And God says, I've got to work in both you guys. And we live often with this sense of, I'm just not strong enough. That's the Gideon one. But friends, the honest truth is none of us are. The honest truth is he uses the broken. He uses the weak. He uses the dependent. And somehow the enemy gets in our ear and makes us think we've got to be like a Samson. And God is saying, be like a Gideon. Know that you need me. See, whatever you think of what Gideon does in his life, he was aware of his need of God. And God was only too willing to keep reassuring him, Gideon, I am with you. And in our life, we get these weak things and we think, oh gosh, that disqualifies me. The Apostle Paul's got a thorn in his flesh, the Bible says. And he pleads with God, take this weakness away. And God says, my grace is sufficient for you. My power is made perfect in weakness. Can we hear that this morning? My power is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, I will boast all the more gladly of my weakness, he says. That's the total opposite of what we do. We hide them and cover them. So that the power of Christ, he says, may rest upon me. The New Living Translation says, my power works best in weakness. We want to hide it. Paul says, I'm rejoicing in it because I understand that in my weakness, God's power works best. Friends, please stop saying you're too weak. Because if you feel too weak, you're a great candidate for the power of God. Don't despise it. Let it drive you to Jesus. And realize just how much you need Him. Because in your weakness, His power works best. The Amplified Version says, "All the more gladly I will boast in my weakness and infirmities, that the strength and power of Christ, the Messiah, may rest. Yes, may pitch a tent over and dwell upon me." How many people want the power of God just to be like a tent over them? Want to just dwell under the power of God? Want to just know what it is to have the power of God resting on their lives? Friends, be weak. Be dependent. If you want to be a stronger husband, wife, parent, whatever it might be, teacher, accountant, come to Him as weak. See your need. Friends, prayer is not just about wanting to pray. I need to pray. I'm weak without Him. We're often thinking to ourselves, but what I really want is God to come and take all my weaknesses away, and all my fears away, and all my insecurities away, and all my doubts away. And if I have an encounter with God that takes all of that stuff away, then I'll be able to rise up and step forward and do what I know God is really calling me to do. And Gideon has an encounter with God. It says the angel of the Lord. If you look that up, what that actually means, it means God Himself appears to him. Verse 22 to 24. God Himself appears to him. He says, "God, this is God." God comes. He has an encounter. He builds an altar. It was a significant encounter with God. And you think to yourself, well, surely that settles it. I mean, an encounter with the angel of the Lord. God Himself shows up. And he's just like, "Whoa, I've seen God Himself." And he builds an altar, and it's a significant encounter. You think he's going to walk out of there like 10 feet tall. He's never going to fear again. He's never going to doubt again. He's never going to struggle again. He's never going to have a low self-opinion, self-esteem or opinion of himself again. Do you know what? The interesting thing is this. Gideon's whole life, he teeters on the edge of fear. Gideon's whole life, he wrestles with these issues in his life. We think, oh God, couldn't you have just wiped them all out? Maybe sometimes, friends, we despise our weaknesses, but they're the very things that God uses to keep us in a place that keeps us dependent upon Him. Oh God, take it away. Gideon's like, he has this encounter with God. God says, go and destroy Baal and pull him down in your dad's backyard. He goes under night, in the cover of night, in the darkness, because he's afraid, it says. Then he comes out from a cave, he sounds a trumpet, all the troops rally around him. Read it in your own time. You think, this is it, he's sounding a trumpet. Gideon's here, come on. What's happening next? And he says, well, God, I could really do with a sign, so I've got this fleece. I'm going to put it out, and God, if I put it out, if the fleece is wet, the ground is dry, I know you're with me. And the fleece is wet, the ground is dry. And then he says, well, God, well, actually, really, can we just do that thing again? But can we switch it up a little, God? You know, can you make the fleece dry and the ground wet? And God does it. You think, well, now he's with him. Then God says, go on, go. And it says in chapter 7, verse 9, we're getting there. Then God says to him that same night, after all this has happened, arise, go down against the camp, for I've given it into your hand. Now listen, but if you're afraid to go down, oh, here it is again. God's been doing all this stuff, and God says, look, I still see that in your life, but it doesn't mean I can't use you. If you're afraid to go down to the camp with Pura, your servant, and you shall hear what they say, and afterwards your hand shall be strengthened to go down against the camp. Friends, as you begin to step out, the other thing I'll say to you is this. New seasons and new levels often stir up new fears and new insecurities. As you begin to step out, it's not that God wipes them out, you face them. But the greatest thing you need, please hear my heart, you might think is for God to take that weakness, that issue, that struggle away. Friends, the greatest thing you need is a revelation of the simple truth that God, but I will be with you. It is who is with you in those moments that really matters. And God says, but I will be with you. What happened to me in the summer, I know it's personal, but I believe this is a revelation God wants for every one of us. I would love to say that it wiped out my fears. But it didn't. It didn't. They still rise up. We were on holiday this week at Centre Parks. I'm just about done. We're on holiday at Centre Parks. I'm praying in the morning. And God shows me a picture of an owl. See this picture of an owl, I think. But I had no connection of what the relevance of this owl was, but it was just clear in my mind. I thought, I don't know, I couldn't seem to understand what it was. And so we went off for the day, we went swimming, we done the various things we do. The kids said, can we go to the sweet shop? They've got a sweet shop there, an on-site sweet shop. Charges crazy money for a tub of sweets. My spirit of generosity rose up in that moment. Yes, of course we can, you know. So when we go, I'm rather partial to a coconut mushroom, so I was happy to go in. We go in, this lady pushes her trolley out from the back store. I'm just standing there minding my own business, not even thinking about anything that's happened in the morning or what God said. I'm just standing there, this lady pushes out a trolley, she pushes out a trolley, she starts to restock the shelves just right beside me, and it just catches my eye, and I look across, and as I look up, the first thing I see on the shelf, a packet of chocolate owls. I've never, not even been in the sweet shop. The first thing I see is a packet of chocolate owls. I'm like, oh my life, this is you, God, this is you. This was the owl, I saw the owl. Now you might think in that moment, it's like, boom, he's in there. Come on, God has spoken. Oh God, I can't do it. Oh no, I'm in the middle of a sweet shop. Centre Parks, everyone else is here. What am I going to say? What's she going to do? She's going to tell me to get out of the shop. I'm not going to get my coconut mushrooms. I don't know, you know, all this stuff, you know, I don't know what to do. And she wanders back into the back storeroom and I'm like, oh. And then God says, bye, we'll be with you. She walks back and I says, look, this is going to be the most random request you've had of the day. But I was praying this morning, and then when I was praying, I believe God speaks to me. God gave me a picture of an owl. Right, I didn't really think nothing of it, but you walked out, you pushed your trolley. I looked up and saw two chocolate owls right where you pushed out your trolley. I said, is there anything I can pray for you for on this day? She puts hands on her trolley. She goes, she looks at me, she says, wow. That's really interesting. I said, is it? She says, 2 years ago to the day, she was in her 50s. Today, 2 years ago, my son died. I said to her, look, can I just pray for you? Because God loves you. Can I just pray for you? She said, yes. I stood in the middle of Centre Parks in the sweet shop. Just shared the love of God with her. Just prayed for her. The fear's kicked in. But I will be with you. Friends, sometimes we surrender to our fears and our insecurities and doubts, and we don't know what God was ready to do. And God wants to use you. And God's got plans and purposes for your life. And the enemy wants to push you into the shadows. But God says, but I will be with you. I don't think we'll get through all of this today, but when you step into the enemy's camp, it's what God says, that makes you smile, really. He says, go down into the enemy's. If you're afraid, go into the enemy's camp. And that's the opposite of what you'd think logically. But you know, when he goes into the enemy's camp, that rolling bowl, loaf of barley, so you read it in your own time, turns into a, someone says it's the sword of Gideon. You'll have to read that in your own time, because I haven't got time. I don't know how to explain that other than this, that when you begin to step out, God begins to show up. He can even turn a rolling loaf of barley into a sword. And God says, you'll go, you'll hear a word and you'll be strengthened. Friends, I can only say to you this, when you begin to step out, when you step into the enemy's camp, Bill Johnson says, you'll get some of the most encouraging words for your life. You'll be strengthened in ways that you didn't know were possible because you're stepping into the purpose and plan of God. And every time Gideon steps out, God's saying to him, but I will be with you. Somehow in our minds we think God needs a Superman when really all he needs is an available man. The army stripped down, he wins a stunning battle, he doesn't even lift a sword, he wins it with trumpets, torches and jars. The victory was nothing to do with his ability or strength, it was everything to do with the one who was with him. So I just want to encourage you this morning, and maybe you can just come back. Step out of the shadows and trust God. Philippians 4:13, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me, empowers me, enables me, makes me strong. Someone once said, God knows who you are, the devil knows who you are, the only one who doesn't seem to know who you are is you. Friends, the Gideon identity crisis over lives needs to end. God didn't believe in Gideon because it was all about the gifts and skills that he thought Gideon had in his own ability. God believed in his ability to do in Gideon's life what needed to be done. He believed in his ability to change Gideon, to bring about all the changes that were needed. I'd just like to read this to you as we close this morning, if you'll just bear with me. In the early 1500s, a 25-year-old artist and sculptor labored tirelessly with hammer and chisel over a colossal block of cold marble. Other artists had rejected the stone because it had defects, so it sat untouched for several decades before this young sculptor saw something beautiful in it. He worked night and day with obsessive dedication. When someone asked him why he was working so hard on that old stone, he replied, "Because there is an angel in that rock that wants to come out." Nearly 3 years after starting his work, the young artist, Michelangelo, unveiled his enduring masterpiece, a 17-foot-tall sculpture that is known around the world today as David. Anyone who is an artisan will acknowledge that before a masterpiece is ever crafted, it exists in the mind of its creator. Before a brush strokes the canvas, a chisel touches the stone, the clay is placed on the potter's wheel. Before the artist creates a painting, sculpture, or piece of pottery, before the artist has anything tangible to display, he first and foremost has a dream. In the artist's mind, he already sees what he will create before it exists in the physical world. Michelangelo saw something in that block of stone long before anyone else did. Other artists saw impossible defects and imperfections, but Michelangelo saw a masterpiece trapped in it, trapped in that rejected rock, and he worked diligently to set it free. Our God is the master artist. He sees an angel in the rock of your life, and he wants to set it free. Many of us struggle like Gideon. We don't believe in ourselves, but God believes in you. Maybe others haven't believed in you, but God believes in you. He sees who's in you. He sees the angel in the rock, the potential. Friends, we need an encounter like Gideon had that helps us to begin to understand that God, but God, is with us. We need to step out of the shadows and trust him. We need to say, God, the days of being overcome are over. It's time to overcome. Friends, stop disqualifying yourself and let the enemy stop disqualifying you. Let's stop trying to be all strong and together. Let's let God come into our fears, into our doubts, into our self-doubts, into our low opinions of ourselves, into this silly comparison game that so many of us often play, myself included. And let's believe, but I will be with you. Praise God. Praise God. Time is done. I just ask them if we can just sing, Who Am I That the Highest King? I just feel if you're here this morning and you know that this word resonates, if you just kind of feel, you know what, that is something that has been continually pushing me back. The enemy seems to have your fears, your doubts, your insecurities. Just stand to your feet wherever you are just this morning. Just before God, not before me. Just if you know you struggle with that in your life, some areas of fear. If you're afraid of, man, you know when God puts something, oh, I want to say, oh, but I'm afraid to. Or you know that you struggle with this low opinion of yourself or this comparison thing. I just want to pray, Father, for every person who's standing this morning. Father, I just pray for the revelation of who they are in Christ and who you are in them. God, I'm asking you for every brother and sister who's just stood humbly and honestly before you today. God, would you open the eyes of their heart? God, would you help them to see that God, you are with them? Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you. Hallelujah. Praise God. Maybe we could just sing this song once through. I wonder if those who are on could perhaps send word through just to the, because I'm conscious about children's teams and our creche teams. If parents are okay with it, could we just allow them to bring the children back to us? Because I just feel like I could just stop. I just feel like we need to sing this song through. So perhaps we can go through to Shakers Plus and creche, and just they could begin to bring children back through. Probably if you've got a child in creche, go and collect them because they're a little bit young, obviously, to find their way back. But just go and just come back. We're just going to sing this song through. I believe that God is here. He wants to just do some work in people, but let's just release the children to come back. Yeah, let's sing this then, can we please?
Who am I that the highest King would welcome? I was lost, but He bought me.
Bridge just one more time in a moment. I'm chosen. But Romans 8, I just want to read this over you this morning as we close. What then shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? God, just help us to believe that You are for us. God, let that truth just sink in. God, Father, you know what, sometimes when we stuff up, we make mistakes, but You're still for us. God, when we're walking into situations, God, You're for us. So who can be against us? He who did not spare His own Son, but gave Him up for us all, how will He not also with Him graciously give us all things? Thank You, God. Everything we need is in You and comes from You. God, no matter what we're walking into, You're the all-sufficient One. And You are with us. And You are for us. Who shall bring any charge against God's elect? It is God who justifies. Who is to condemn? Christ Jesus is the One who died. More than that, who was raised. Who is at the right hand of God? who is interceding for who? For us. He's praying for you this morning. He's cheering you on this morning. He's championing you this morning. Saying, go on, my son. Go on, my daughter. I'm praying for you. I'm covering you. I believe in you. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution, famine or nakedness or danger or sword? As it is written, for your sake we are killed all the day long. We're regarded as sheep to be slaughtered. No, in all these things we are more than conquerors. More than conquerors. Through him who loved us. For I am sure that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor rulers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Hallelujah. Oh, you almost sounded like you believed it. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. If God is for us, then who can be against us? So as you cross the threshold of this new week and the enemy's trying to push you back into the shadows, I want you just to say, if God is for me, then who can be against me? But God says, I will be with you. Thank you, Jesus.